I'm Jamie Gennaro, and this is Business for Humans. Let's talk about taking your business to a new level without the suits and without being a robot. Here, you can be yourself, you can be imperfect, you can be flawed, and you can still have raging success. So let's go. Welcome. How is everybody? I am recording this after a week off of work, so it feels like it's been a really long time, especially because I started working at the new co-working space. So I'm actually going into an office for the first time in 4 years, and it just makes it feel so much more worky. And now I'm at home recording this podcast, and it is a different feeling. It feels like I'm slacking off, not going to the office, but it's great to be with you all here today. I'm excited about this topic because, per usual, I feel like these themes come up with people, and that's how I know what it is that I need to focus on, because I'm hoping it's going to resonate with lots of you, since so many of you are kind of coming to me with similar things. So today we're talking about unproductive emotions. So what does that mean? We have emotions, right? We feel them in our bodies. We try to describe that emotion with our brain, but ultimately a feeling is just that. It's a feeling. It's not something that we logically reason through, although we can, right? We can work to have more control over our emotions so they don't just take over and take over everything, but ultimately it starts in your body. It's something that churns and burns and causes pain and causes elation. And that's where we're focusing today. We're focusing on the emotion in the body. And I don't like to classify emotions as good or bad, because to me, there are just emotions that are productive and they move you forward, and emotions that are less productive that don't move you forward or have you stopping everything because you feel like you can't move forward. And ultimately, feelings are just feelings, right? So if you allow it, if you allow that feeling to be in your body, if you don't fight it, oftentimes the idea of the emotion is a lot worse than the actual emotion. I think an example of that is humiliation. So we do a lot to avoid humiliation. We operate through our lives, through our work lives, in this very self-conscious state, being very aware of ourselves so that we don't accidentally step into humiliation, right? So we avoid any situation where that might occur, except for those of us who don't care about humiliation. Like, my kids clearly know that I do not care about humiliating myself. But it is one of those emotions that we try really hard to avoid. But if we let ourselves just sink into our bodies and realize that if humiliation were to come up, it would be another one of the feelings that we have, that we process through, we allow, and eventually it will subside. And the truth is, with emotions, a lot of times, the whole process, if you don't fight it, the whole process really only takes like 2 minutes. It's when you're trying to shove it down, when the tears are coming and you're heaving at the top of your chest, trying to keep yourself from crying. It's the trying to keep yourself from crying that keeps that feeling at the surface. But if you were to allow it, step into another room, go to the bathroom, allow those tears to come up, you're really only going to cry for maybe 2 minutes. That real kind of sobby crying, it's going to process itself, have relief, and then it's going to move on. So if we're always afraid of feeling these feelings, then we have tons of resistance in our bodies, and then we never allow them, and then we shove them down, and then the irony is that they linger and they last much longer. But a feeling is just a feeling, right? A feeling of sadness or a feeling of elation, they will pass. So don't get too attached to them. It's not a permanent state. And now I have to make the statement here that I'm not talking about people with clinical, chemical feelings, right? Feeling states. This is for people who aren't on medication. Okay, so it's a different situation if we're talking about people with severe emotional conditions. Okay, I'm not addressing that population. I'm not qualified to address that population. So here we are in our feelings, and we have feelings that help us, right? Feelings that are very useful and feelings that are not so useful. So I'm going to start with the not so useful and then work my way into the more useful. And I think you're going to be surprised because, again, I'm not talking about good feelings and bad feelings. I'm talking about productive feelings. So in my opinion, one of the worst, did I just say that? See how easily our brain like classifies them as good and bad? One of the least is really what I meant to say. One of the least productive feelings is worry. Worry is a waste of energy because we cannot control events in the future. And when we try to, that's when we get worried. So we might be someone who is constantly thinking about health, even if you're healthy, right? So it's not, I'm not talking about worry when it's justified, although I still think that worry is never going to be a productive emotion for you to feel. There are so many other emotions to feel when something is happening that maybe surprised you, and that might be a health condition. If you're in a state of worry about what, because worry is just what's going to happen in the future, right? We're not worried about what's happening now because we're very aware of where we are at the exact moment that we're in, but we worry about the future. We worry about what's next. And our brains go to the worst case scenario. It's just a habit. Our brain is in the habit of going to the worst possible place that it could go to prepare you. This is what we believe. We believe we're preparing ourselves for the worst case scenario so that if we get to the worst case scenario, we're not surprised. But there is no possible way that your brain could know what's going to happen, number one. And it's likely that it's not going to be the worst case scenario that you've imagined. So all this prep work that you're putting yourself through, when you're imagining the worst case scenario, your brain doesn't know the difference between imaginary thinking and reality. So if you're taking your brain into this space of worst case scenario, you're feeling all the feelings of that worst case scenario happening. You're putting yourself through pain when that pain has not occurred. And we don't even know if it will. And if it does, you'll get the pleasure of feeling that pain when you're in the moment. Why feel it ahead of time? Why sit in the spin of worry and waste all that energy? If what if the best case scenario were to happen? What if everything magically worked itself out as we know that it often can? And there was really nothing to worry about. How often do we say that to ourselves? Oh, there was nothing to worry about. We get ourselves in this spin of worry. And it's wasting energy before the thing has happened. So how do you keep yourself from doing that? Awareness. Every time you feel that sinking pit in the bottom of your stomach of worry, write down all the things you're worried about, take yourself to the worst case scenario, and then take yourself to the best case scenario. And again, there's a part of your brain that's like, I shouldn't do that. That's going to jinx things. I can't think about the best case scenario because what if that doesn't happen? What is the difference? Right? You're going into imaginary future space. You're going into an imaginary place that has not happened and likely will never happen. Why not take yourself to a more positive place? Feel the positive feelings. Let those feelings propel you into a different type of action, right? If you're starting to feel into the best case scenario, it's going to help you take the actions to get yourself to the best case scenario. Instead of shutting down, getting defensive, having all this worry overwhelm you and sit on your shoulders, and then everything that comes in the moment is deflected by that worry and concern and worst case scenario. So you're sabotaging your present to be worried about a future that we don't know is going to happen. And so this is unproductive. This is not a feeling that's putting you in a state that is helping you. It's hindering you and it's making you expend energy that you could be using on other things. So a great example is if you're in middle age, as I am, and you're worried about your parents and you're worried about their health and you're worried about their future, you're missing out on the things that are happening in your life in the present. Okay. Your parents might not be super healthy right now, right? But all you can do right now is be in this moment. And if you have kids, if you have a family, if you have a life, if you have a career in this moment, you're missing out on all of the wonderful things that are coming in because your brain is focusing on a future reality that hasn't yet happened. So you're sabotaging your relationships in the present to try to control something that is happening in the future or will happen or won't happen. And so you're constantly in this dual state of mind, future and present, and you just cannot be present here in this moment. If your brain is pondering and problem solving and troubleshooting an event that has yet to happen, it's very possible that in the present, if you're focused on the present, you might be able to help circumvent a health issue because you're so focused on the now with your parents, helping them get through the now, that you could potentially circumvent a health issue that you're worried about in the future by being focused on the present. So worry to me is very, very, very unproductive. And again, you don't have to fight yourself on it. If you know you're used to going into a state of worry, just be aware of it. That's the best thing you can do in the beginning of this process of being aware of these emotions and trying to move around them, maybe work through them and try not to get into the drama of them. Just note them and let them go. And a great way to do that, like I said, is just jot it down, write it down. I'm worried. Why? Go down the full rabbit hole. Why am I worried? What do I think is going to happen? Why do I think that's going to happen? What is the worst case scenario? And then take yourself into the best case scenario. They're both imaginary. Let yourself go to both places and then practice going to the best case scenario. It's a brain training, right? It's a training of your emotions to say, I'm allowed to go to the best case scenario. It's all imaginary thinking. None of it is real. I don't have to punish myself to prepare myself for some future. It doesn't make me a better person to put myself down, make myself feel bad, think of all the horrible things that could happen. That, you know, I think a lot of people are like, well, that's what makes me humble. That's what makes me a better person. I don't have ego when I'm thinking about all the terrible things that could happen. I'm bringing myself down to reality. Don't do that. Don't create pain when there's no reason to, right? You're going to be better set up for whatever future happens when you have more energy and groundedness in the moment because you're here. If you're more grounded here, you're going to be more prepared if something comes into your world that shakes it up. If you're really burned out and overwhelmed, constantly thinking about this future that's never going to happen, you're not going to have the energy to deal with it when it does happen or when some version of it happens. Good or bad, you might not have the energy to put towards it. When opportunities start coming towards you, you're going to be too tired to walk through those open doors because you've been overwhelming yourself with worry. So worry, unproductive. I think it's good to also just go through all the range of emotions that you feel on a daily basis and just categorize them. Is it pulling you into some worst case scenario future thinking, or is it giving you energy? That's how we know productive versus unproductive. Now, energy isn't always the mechanism by which we measure productivity. There's also just, is it helping me process something? Is it putting me into a state of mind or a state of being that feels active rather than stopping me? So a very, very, very productive emotion is grief. We hate it. We resist it. We think about the worst case scenarios so we can avoid it. But when it comes, it's not pleasant. It's not a happy emotion. But the process of grieving is active. It's an active process. In my opinion, there is no emotion more productive than grief. It's so many things wrapped up in a package. It's pretty much impossible to avoid, right? I mean, some people are really good at pushing their emotions down, but when you allow yourself to step into grief, you feel the active healing of that emotion. As it moves in waves through your body, it is literally healing you. And it sucks. So this is the thing about some of these very productive emotions. If we don't avoid them, they heal us. They bring us to a new place. There's a level of vulnerability when we allow ourselves to go into those spaces that when we come out of them, we feel relief. When you grieve and you are sobbing and you are feeling pain and you're allowing yourself to go into all of those crevices and alcoves, when you come out, you feel this sense of euphoria because you have released those emotions actively, physically. You've released those emotions and there's this feeling of you're still sad, but there's this feeling of like deep relaxation. Because you've allowed it to process through. You've allowed it to heal you. And grieving is a long-term process. But when you allow yourself to go there, you know you're going to step out of that space with a sense of peace. And that is so productive, right? The thing is, it's the pain we're trying to avoid in avoiding emotions. But if we let ourselves go into that pain, we work it through and it heals us and we come out the other side more peaceful, more balanced, more grounded, more centered, more self-aware than if we're avoiding it, if we're avoiding that emotion and the feeling that comes with it. So one of the emotions that feels like it could be productive, but is also unproductive, but can be productive sometimes. It's a tricky one, is fear. Now, fear is very productive when it comes up in moments of danger. So a bunch of friends are jumping off a cliff into the river. We feel scared because we are potentially in danger, right? We feel a flood of fear rush through our system, which is also adrenaline. We feel that active fear. And if we take action, which means avoiding the danger, that fear is the most productive emotion that we could ever feel. If we allow ourselves to be scared and we don't try to push it down to be cool, we are actively avoiding danger. And that is super productive. But our brains don't know the difference of standing at the edge of a cliff about to jump in and do something dangerous versus something in our lives that's not really dangerous, but feels dangerous, like accepting a layoff, right? Feels really scary, or deciding to leave a job on your own, like quitting the job. There's this rush of fear that comes up to the surface. Our brain is like, danger, danger, danger. We need to take action. And the reality is, it's not a live or die sort of situation when we're leaving our jobs, right? In the case where you're privileged enough to decide to leave. Okay, again, I have to preface this by saying, if you're privileged enough to be in a position where you could leave your job, and I'm not saying that you have $1 million in the bank and that you're protected, but you are privileged enough to know that you're not going to die, right? You're not going to have to move under a bridge. Although your brain is probably worrying about that. And that's what's making you scared. Your brain is taking you to the worst case scenario. If I leave my job, it equals moving under a bridge. We all take our brains to that most extreme space. And we don't allow ourselves to think about the best case scenario. So we let fear turn into worry, turn into stopping us from moving forward. There is so much discomfort in all of these emotions, right? So the fear that comes up when we're not in danger, but we're about to make a leap, that's discomfort. And here's the thing about discomfort. When you feel discomfort, you're growing and you're healing. That's why grief is so productive, because it takes us right into the heart of discomfort and it makes us sit there and wade in it. And it's so productive because we're wading in the pain and we're wading through that discomfort. We're allowing it and we come out the other side more peaceful. When you feel that fear come up, imagine the best case scenario. Know that discomfort comes with change. Discomfort comes with stepping out of what's comfortable to us and going into discomfort. And when you go into discomfort, you're growing and you're healing and you're processing and you're closer to the heart and soul of who you are. The avoidance of these feelings takes you to a place that is not your natural state. When someone dies and you know you should feel grief, but you go to work and you avoid it, you're not in your natural state. You're not closer to your soul, right? You're not allowing yourself to be vulnerable and human and recognizing that pain and discomfort and knowing that when you sit in it, it's really helpful. So when you feel fear related to something like leaving a job, and I'm using that because that's been coming up a lot with a lot of people, both professional relationships and personal relationships around me, when you feel that fear, ask yourself why. Why are you scared? And if the answer is because it's unknown over there and it's uncomfortable, ask yourself why that's bad. Why is it bad to be uncomfortable? Why is it bad to step into something that's unknown? And then go through the best case scenario, because it's all imaginary. If you only take yourself into the worst case scenario, you're not giving yourself the benefit of feeling pleasure just for the sake of feeling pleasure. It's all imaginary. Allow yourself to feel good sometimes. You don't always have to be beating yourself up to be a better person. You're allowed to imagine the best case scenario. And guess what? You fucking deserve it. You deserve the best case scenario, but you keep stopping yourself from believing that. You think that by thinking about the worst case scenario, that makes you a better person. because you want to stay humble, right? You are allowed. You deserve it. You deserve the best case scenario. Why don't you believe that about yourself? Think about what is the best thing that could happen from this discomfort. Well, if we learned anything from grief, we know it could mean groundedness, connection, understanding ourselves better, feeling more comfortable in our own skin, feeling like we're finally showing up in the world as ourselves. We're not hiding anything anymore. Maybe the best case scenario of leaving a job is that a better job comes through the door, but that opportunity wouldn't be there unless you left your last job. Maybe there's a business partner that wants to start some amazing thing with you and it's going to feel super aligned to your purpose. There are all these potentials that you're not allowing yourself to think about because you've been in a comfort zone for so long. And so you feel scared to leave that comfort zone. But there's this place, this evolved state of being, this place where you feel really aligned with your life and you're denying yourself that because of fear. So fear can be super productive when it's really physically protecting you from danger. And it can be really unproductive when it's standing in your way, making you believe that the thing in front of you is dangerous. And again, the best way to recognize that is just be aware and ask yourself the questions. Don't accept it at face value. Don't say, well, fear equals discomfort. I don't want discomfort, so I'm going to go the other direction. I'm going to run away from it because fuck that. I don't want the fear. Well, what would be the best case scenario if you allowed the fear? If you allowed the fear, you didn't run away from it, and you actually ran towards the thing that feels scary. What's the best case scenario? Just work it through. Give yourself the time and space to be able to do that. Even if you don't go that direction, because every decision is the right decision, there's no regret. As soon as you make the decision, go all in on that decision because it's 100% right. Once you make the decision, go all in on it, but allow yourself that time to wonder, to go into this beautiful imaginary space of what's the best thing that could happen. Don't let an emotion be the reason why you don't do something, because it's just an emotion that if you allow it, it will pass. And if you really get into it, it will give you peace. On the other side, there will be peace. There will be more connection. I hope that's helpful. Again, this has been coming up over and over, this idea about fear and how it stops people. And I think worry and fear work hand in hand. And if you let them stand in your way, you're going to miss out on so much beauty that's right in front of you. And you're going to miss out on allowing yourself some of those really positive, beautiful, energizing, warm emotions because you think you don't deserve them. You think it makes you a better person to go into the darkness. You can have both. Give yourself a balance. Give yourself some light and relief from thinking about all the horrible things. And I know it's hard because we see it all around us. We're feeling the energy of all this like turmoil happening in the world, but you're allowed to feel good. And the more we sit in that, the more we can hopefully like foster some positivity around us, like at least in our circle. And then maybe that expands and that expands. You deserve to feel it. And you need to take advantage of the moment you're in because not everybody gets to be in the moment that you're in. Not everybody gets that opportunity. No, not everyone is as privileged as we are to be taking our time with these things, right? So we need to also know that if we have these opportunities, we need to embrace them because not everybody has them. We are really lucky to be in this place. And anyone else who, you know, is imagining being in the place that we're in, we owe it to them to do the best we can with these privileges that we have in front of us. So I hope that helps you this week. I hope that's something that maybe resonated, that you maybe needed to hear. And as always, I'm here. I have my spring coaching open. So if you want to set up a discovery call with me, go ahead and do that in the show notes. I'm rooting for you, and I'll talk to you next week. You've been listening to Business for Humans. Don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And please leave a review so that other business owners can find the show. Learn more at practica.consulting.